Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, Your Blessing is Under Your Boat. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Peter says, I cannot take it anymore. And you know what? I ain't got to take it either, because I had a business before I ever joined this man, Jesus' ministry. I had my own career. I had my own fishing industry. I had people that worked for me, and I gave it all up for him. And I went through everything I went through just to be part of his ministry. And now that I'm in trouble, where is he now, by the way? So I'm through. I'm through with all of this church stuff. I'm through with tithing. I'm through with offerings. I'm through with destiny. Please don't talk to me about destiny. I don't want another message about destiny. I don't want to hear about purpose. My car is broke down. My mortgage is late. My marriage is on the rocks. My child is on crack. My daughter tells me she's a lesbian. And I just don't know what to do anymore. And don't talk to me about being faithful. I have been faithful. I have supported the vision. I've supported the visionary. I've helped in every outreach. I sowed in every special offering. I worked on every committee. I volunteered in every department. I gave my time, my talent, my treasure. You said wear black and white. I wore black and white. You said wear red. I wore red. I spent thousands of dollars in gas and put hundreds and hundreds of miles on my car just to be a part of this church. Can I ask you today, what do you do when it seems like serving God does not come back home to bless you? What do you do when you spend your whole life helping everybody else, and the very minute that you need help, you can't get no help up in here? Slap somebody, tell them, I know that's right. So what do you do? I mean, we can't let people know how we really feel. But what do you do? Peter said, I'll tell you what to do. Peter said, you go fishing. That's exactly what he said. He said, I am going. I'm through preaching. I'm through praying for sick folk. I'm through counseling confused folk. I'm through feeding hungry folk. I am through cleaning up them nasty church folk, the mess that they leave. I'm through. I'm tired of talking to the Jews. I'm tired of ministering to the Gentiles. I am done. Stick a fork in me. I am done, and I am going fishing. And I can hear all the religious folks standing around Peter going, oh my God, I am appalled that this man has said such a thing. I am just appalled. I really thought he was more spiritual than that. Did you know Peter was that carnal? I had no idea. And you know what? I got to agree with them. This was not a very spiritual thing to do, but I'm telling you, the longer I live and the older I get, the more I begin to understand it. It wasn't spiritual, but it was understandable. And here is why. Because fishing is what Peter did before he ever got caught up in ministry. Peter was a fisherman before he was a disciple. And anytime your present world is under pressure, your greatest temptation will always be to revert back to what you were doing before. Who am I talking to today? And under pressure, Peter said, this is not working, okay? I've wrestled with it. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. I can't take it anymore. It ain't working for me. Matthew, you're built for this. Bartholomew, you're built. It's not working for me. I tried it, man, but it ain't working. I am a born fisherman, so I am going fishing. That is what Peter did, and that's what people do today when they get disappointed. You get your feelings hurt at the church. You sign up for something to be on somebody's team. Nobody calls us back. Then we start pouting and we get our feelings hurt. And then we hang a little sign on the doorpost of our commitment that says, gone fishy. Oh, you come to church because church is what we do, but you're here, but you're withdrawn, or you're indifferent, or you just give God the least that you can give him to get by, because we've fallen into a spirit of familiarity, and we're disconnected, and we're detached, and now we come, but we just come because we know that that's what we're supposed to do. We're here, but our focus isn't here. Our praise isn't really here. Our mind isn't really here. Our focus is on our next business adventure. It's on how many deals we can make, or how many contracts we can sign, or how much education we can get, or how much money we can get. And all of that's good. Money, education, contracts, and deals. It's all good, that is, unless you are trying to use all of that stuff to fill a spot that belongs to God and to God alone. Can I tell you today that there is a little part of your life that he has hewed out for himself? And I don't care who comes into your life. I don't care what comes into your life. I don't care how much money, how many friends, how many nice things. I don't care. Nothing will ever bring you fulfillment until Jesus takes the seat of authority in your heart. He's got to have reserved seating in your life. There is a spot in my life that is reserved for him and for him alone, because nobody can love you like he can. Nobody can touch you like he can. Nobody knows where you're broken, where you're empty, or where you are hurting like he can. Peter said, I am going fishing. And I understand that, because Peter was a fisherman. What I don't understand is all them other dummies that said, well, if you going fishing, we going with you, brother Peter. They weren't even fishermen. That's what I don't get. They weren't fishermen. But because Peter was out there, they said, we going out there with you. That is the very reason that the enemy works so hard to keeping people with the slightest bit of leadership ability from finding their spot and setting down into it. He works overtime making us feel miserable, or making us feel like, well, they should be doing more for me, or they should respect what I have, or I should be treated better. And as a result, because of that, we have a lot of people in the church that are discontented, and they're disgruntled, and they're dissatisfied. And whether you know it or not, you and your disgruntled, dissatisfied self have got people that are watching you, and they are being affected by you. Now, you ain't affecting everybody, because you ain't all that. But there are people sitting on every row that has a certain level of influence over somebody else. And so the minute that you get critical, they get critical too. And the minute that you grumble, they grumble. And the minute that you make a decision to go fishing, them and them crazy self decide, well, we go on fishing with you too. And instead of being complimented because you got a little posse now, you better be careful, because at the end of the day, God might just hold you responsible for the fact that they missed their destiny following after you. Slap your neighbor, say, only follow me as I follow Christ. They ain't fished a day in their life, but now they're out there, and it's causing Peter more headache than it is anything, because he was already tired of them, okay? He needed a break. He needed to get away from them. But now they're out there. Luke is out there trying to fish. He is not a fisherman. Luke is a physician. But because he's under the influence of somebody else, he is out there. He's completely stressed out. His line is all tangled up. His net is all tangled up. He's about to tip the boat over. And Peter's like, Luke, sit down before you turn us all upside down. And the problem is, Luke is out there trying to do something he's not called to do, he's not equipped to do, he's not empowered to do, and he's not got the grace to do, and he's not even supposed to do. And it wasn't the devil that made him do it, it was the influence of his friend. See, the devil don't care nothing about getting everybody, he just wants to get you, because if he gets you, he gets a 2-for-1 deal. Peter was out there fishing, and all of his posse went out there with him, and he went because Peter was good at what he did. However, Peter is dissatisfied. And when you get dissatisfied, your nature, I don't know who that's for today, but your nature wants you to turn around. When you don't see the level of success and the level of fulfillment that you want to see over here, you something in you just automatically navigates back to your comfort zone. But can I tell you, sometimes it's better to be on the bottom of that level than it is to be on the top. Somebody tell him, anyway is higher. Anyway you look at it, it's higher. But Peter, he decided he was going to go back. And Peter went back to fishing. And he got his little buddies. He got his tackle box. He got his bait. And they all climbed into the boat. I don't know who was watching the master. I don't know who was there for him. But I know these guys have gone fishing. They start sailing out into the water. The wind begins to blow. And Peter's like, man, I feel the pressure just leaving me. Do y'all feel that? Watch the wind. It's blowing through my hair. I ain't felt like this in forever. Man, this feels right for me, Matthew. I'm telling you, this feels like home. God knows I am so glad to be back at home. I don't know about y'all, but I'm through with ministry. I mean, I still love Jesus, but I'm through with that multitudes. I'm through with ushering. I'm through with running the sound. I'm through with choir rehearsals. I'm through with all that because I am tired. I'm tired of running the children's ministry, taking care of all them snotty-nosed children. I'm tired of all of that stuff. I am so glad to be back out here on the water. I feel the burden lifting off of me. And what does he do? He throws his net out to try to catch some fish for dinner. And he watches it as it falls. And he stands back like the proud fisherman that he is. And he says, man, I'm telling you right now, that is a load of fish right there. I can tell the way that it hit. Oh yeah, baby, that's gonna be a good dinner for us up in here. He leans over the boat a little bit later and he picks up the net only to find out that it's very light. So now he's got a little explaining to do, as Lucille Ball would say. He looks and he says, guys, okay, I know it's empty, but this is what we gotta do. If you ever throw it out and it's empty, you just gotta shift a little bit and throw it out a little bit further. So he watches as it goes down. He throws the net. It hits the water. He stands back and says, baby, I'm telling you right now, that is it. Do you think so, Peter? Are you kidding me, man? Get away from here. You better shut your mouth. I am a fisherman. This is who I am. It's what I do. This is my element. This is my lane. I am a natural at this. I am born to do this. Luke, I am a professional. Man, start the skillet. We're getting ready to have a fish fry up in here. Up in here. All night. No fish. Can you say that with me? All night, no fish. One more time. All night, no fish. He is in his lane, church, but he is failing. He is a natural, but he is failing. He is a professional, but he is failing. Because you can be a professional and still fail. If the last few years has not taught America anything, it has taught us that you cannot count on your skill. You cannot count on your degree. You cannot count on your ability. You cannot count on your talents. You cannot count on your giftedness. Just because it worked yesterday does not mean that it is going to work today. Slap somebody and tell them that was then, but this is now. He toiled all night long. Toiled until his hair was wringing wet. Toiled until, piece by piece, he came out of his clothes. Worked and labored all night long. people catching fish all around him. He ain't got a thing and he's got a posse. So now he's embarrassed. He's exhausted. He's naked. He's ashamed. He's hungry. He's confused. Because what used to work just so naturally, all of a sudden it ain't working anymore. And in the middle of it all, while he's facing all of these mixed emotions, there comes a voice from the shore that says, children, have you any meat? Now, nobody who considers himself to be a professional and has fished all night and has nothing to show for it wants to hear anybody ask them a question like that. Because the very minute that you hear it, you are forced into confronting your own failure. Can I tell you that if you think ministry is about you being blessed all the time and encouraged all the time, ooh, that Bishop Jakes, he preached today. Ooh, Pastor Pretty just preached. If you think that ministry, real ministry, is always about you walking out of here being on cloud nine, can I tell you, you don't even have a clue what real ministry is all about. If you don't leave here mad at me sometimes, then you're probably in the wrong church. Because real ministry is sometimes like surgery. It will cut away at your flesh. It will leave you knocked out. It will leave you cold. It will leave you numb and sometimes even disabled for a season. Sometimes you come out looking a lot worse than you did when you went in. Because real ministry, it makes you not so quick to want to hang out with people. It makes you not so quick to hit somebody and say, where are we going to eat after church is over? Real ministry. I've been in ministry that's real. And real ministry has made me want to isolate myself. I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to hear nobody. I don't want to eat with nobody. I don't want to laugh. I don't want to talk. I want to go somewhere and fall on my face and be forced to deal with me and my nasty self. Real ministry will bother you sometimes. It will frustrate you. It will hurt your feelings. Real ministry will make you angry. It'll make you deal with stuff that you're not ready to deal with. It'll climb up in your face and it will confront you. Real ministry will hold up a mirror in your face and make you look at yourself. Real ministry will make you call your gifted self on the carpet. It will expose your arrogance. It will make you confront your failure and that stupid spirit of entitlement. Ministry will make you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, purge me with hyssop that I might be clean. Wash me, Lord, that I will be whiter. Whiter. Peter looks in his boat. He sees all the things. He sees all the nets. He sees the bait. He sees the posse. He sees the tackle boxes. We see our houses. We see the clothes. We see the cars, the influence, the titles. We see the position, the bank accounts. But no meat. No substance. No personal power. Can I tell you? At some point in your walk with God, you've got to develop some personal power. Woo! I thank God for personal power. Now, you don't get personal power until you learn to go through rejection and through bitterness and through people cutting you out and excluding you. And you really want to be a part, but sometimes God will cut you out of your little circle and he'll let them hurt your feelings and they won't even know that they hurt your feelings. But they did, because God is calling you into an apprehended life. You never have personal power until you learn how to live happily normally in an apprehended life. David was an apprehended man. That's why he was okay in the field with his father's sheep while his brothers were all in there trying to jockey for position and power. David said, I am a man of God, and whatever belongs to me will come to me in my due season. I am an apprehended man, and I'll stay right here until God calls my name. No personal power. Can I tell you, at some point, you got to call on God for yourself. Not even your spouse. Not even your prayer partner. I thank God for you, and I hope that you pray for me. But at the end of the day, if you get mad at me or you just forget about me, I can go in my prayer closet and lay hands on myself and speak life. I tell myself, live, Cheryl. There's a little preacher inside of me that says, live and not die. Live and not die. Live and not die. Touch somebody, tell them you need personal power. Have you any meat? Peter said, no, sir, we don't have any meat. Then cast your net on the other side. Peter's like, because he's already mad, he's hungry, he's embarrassed, he's tired. He's tired of church, he's tired of ministry, he's tired of preachers. I don't know, he might even be a little tired of Jesus. I don't know. The Bible didn't say that, I just kind of said that. Because sometimes, whatever. In other words, Peter's tripping, okay? He says, okay, okay. Does he not know that we done been out here all night long? Hello? Doesn't he know I'm a professional? Doesn't he know that I had a job before I joined his ministry? Doesn't he know? Does he remember that I'm a fisherman? And who in the world does he think he is telling me what to do? I mean, I have been out here all night in the boat, in the water, and he wants to stand on the shore and tell me where to put my net. Can he tell by looking at me that if there was anything out here, I would have already caught it? Cast your net on the right. See, you know what Peter's problem is? Same problem many of us have today. Peter has made all of these sacrifices. One sacrifice after another. But he has no success to show for his sacrifice. And that messes church folk up. Because we think that enough sacrifices will equal up to success. But can I tell you, you can work yourself to death making one sacrifice right behind another and get nowhere at all, because the Bible said obedience is better than your sacrifice. Can I tell you that there is a level in God where he releases blessings not based on your sacrifice, but he releases blessings based on your obedience. In other words, if you will obey God, you don't have to work near as hard as you are working trying to sacrifice. If you are obedient, you can work less and have more, because when you are obedient, you don't have to keep guessing and throwing your net where you think that your fish are. But when you are obedient, you can throw your net exactly where he tells you to. So when you're a professional and you've labored and you haven't caught nothing, you have a tendency to think, it ain't nothing out here for me. Some of you have then come to the conclusion, ain't nothing in this place for me. There's no fish in the sea for me. There's no ministry in this church for me. And the problem is our first inclination is when we don't get what we want, our first inclination is we need to move. But this is what I love about Jesus. He told Peter, he said, you ain't even got to move, Peter. You ain't got to do anything but take your net and cast it on the other side. Stay right where you are, because I am going to show you how to be successful in the very same business, in the very same house, in the very same marriage, in the very same spot that you had your biggest failure in. And I don't know who I have come to preach to today, but he said, I know you feel like you've wasted your time. I know you feel embarrassed. I know you've toiled and you got nothing to show for it. But Peter, I don't want you to move. I know that it looks like it's not working because you look like you ain't caught nothing. But just because you have not caught it does not mean it is not there. Your problem, Peter, is you are an arrogant airhead and you're praising your own talents and you're praising your own skill and you're praising your own ability. But before this is all said and done, I will show you, sir, that it is not by might nor by power, but it is by my spirit. Before it is all said and done, I will show you, preacher, that without me, you can do nothing. Grab your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's there, but you're gonna need God to get it. Grab somebody else and tell them, you're gonna need God. It was there the entire time. I said it was there the entire time. It was there the entire time. I want you to look up under that boat with me for just a minute. Because if you look not at the boat, but if you look up underneath the boat, you will see the hand of God. And he's holding those fish back. He's only letting them swim up so far. And then he's turning them back around. He's only letting blessings come so close, but then he's turning them back around. They're coming up close, but they're turning back around because God is trying to teach Peter. He's trying to teach you. He's trying to teach me that being a professional and having a nice boat and having a strong net does not guarantee you anything. It is the entrance of my word that brings light. And unless I speak, there will be no light that shines in your direction. He said, I am showing you that you got to trust me. I'm going to show you before it's all said and done. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But I will show you that I am God. And beside me, there is none other. Before it is all said and done, you will have to learn how to anchor your soul in Christ Jesus. Peter couldn't see the fish, but they were there. His eyes hadn't seen. His ears hadn't heard. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I came to tell you, your eyes haven't seen. Your ears haven't heard. Whatever you do, don't move. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel now. Hold on. You are on the verge of making the catch of a lifetime.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, your blessing is under your boat. Visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady.